Greetings and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Animation Podcast, a weekly podcast about all things animation brought to you by Filmbook. My name is Matt Brunet, but some of you may know me as Animat from my YouTube channel, Electric Dragon 505, home of web series that are all about animation, including Animation Look Back and Animat's Reviews. If this is your first time here in the Animation Podcast, the title will go and explain everything for you. Now, what I want you to do is look at that title. Look at it. Carefully focus on it. Good. Now you know what this is all about. Well, not actually. Specifically, though, it's about the latest news that happened this week. So, first things first, I will go and explain to you guys about the nominations for the 44th Annual Annie Awards. Then we will be looking into a crossover Foot Locker Air Jordans commercial that celebrates the 20th anniversary of a certain feature film. Then we will be looking into the Lego version of Two-Face. Then afterwards, we got the director of Detective Pikachu. And finally, we got Matt's Pick of the Week. If you want to check out more episodes of the Animation Podcast, then head on down to Filmbook, that is film-book.com, by searching the Animation Podcast. And you can also email us at podcast@filmbook.com with the Animation Podcast in the subject line. And so, first things first that I want to go and explain to you guys is that, you know, recently I've been talking about award shows, most namely about the Oscars, that they're pretty much setting themselves up and got all their animation contenders to be ready and go get nominated for, more specifically, Best Animated Feature and Best Animated Short, and possibly other nominations as well. However, now, it's not just the Oscars that pretty much means major gold in the animation community. It's not just that. Like, technically, yes, there is the Golden Globes and stuff like that, but they don't necessarily matter that much. The big thing for animation people is the Annie Awards, which is made by Asifa Hollywood, and the Annie Awards is pretty much, like, the biggest award show that encompasses everything about animation. Not just animated features, but also animated TV shows, animated specials, and anything that has to do with animation. And now they're starting to be more open towards other factors where artists and animators would work on projects, including the visual effects of live-action films and even video games. So anyways, what happened this week is that the Annie Awards have finally announced the nominations for the 44th Annual Annie Awards. Now, I'm not going to be listing you every single one of them that happened in there. If you guys want to check out yourself for all the list of the nominations at the Annie Awards, then all you have to do is go to annieawards.org/nominees. However, I will just list you some of the big ones that, like, you probably really are curious to know, and, like, some of the ones that, you know, that have to be mentioned. So first things first, allow me to explain to you the nominations for Best Animated Feature in the Independent category, and they are Long Way North, Miss Hokusai, My Life as a Zucchini, The Red Turtle, and Your Name. Following that, we actually got Best Animated Short, in which in here they put in Blind Vaisha, Dear Flower, Path Title Sequence, Pearl, and Piper. And then afterwards, we also got Best Animated TV Show for Kids. And the nominees that we have include Adventure Time for the episode Bad Jubies, Voltron Legendary Defender for the episode Return of the Gladiator, Elena of Avalon for the episode A Day to Remember, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles for the episode Trans-Dimensional Turtles, and finally, Wander Over Yonder for the episode My Fair Hattie. And then afterwards, we also got Best General Audience Animated TV Show, in which we have Bob's Burgers for the episode Glued, Where's My Bob? Then afterwards, we got BoJack Horseman for the episode Fish Out of Water. Then we got Long Live the Royals for the episode Punk Show. Then there's also The Simpsons for the episode Bart Hood. And finally, we got The Venture Brothers for the episode Hostile Makeover. Now, if we can go down to Best Directing for the TV and Animated Specials category, they are A Love Story Passion Pictures. This is Best Directing, so I better mention the director as well. So, Sashka Unseld for A Love Story Passion Pictures. We got Kristen Lepore for Adventure Time on the episode Bad Jubies. We got David Feiss for Open Season Scared Silly. There is Patrick Osborne for the animated short Pearl. And finally, we got directors Dave Thomas, Eddie Trigueros, and Justin Nichols for Wander Over Yonder for the episode of My Fair Hattie. Now on to best directing for an animated feature, in which we got Travis Knight for Kubo and the Two Strings, Claude Barras for My Life as a Zucchini, Michael Dudok DeWitt for The Red Turtle, Makoto Shinkai for Your Name, and Brian Howard and Rich Moore for Zootopia. All right, so now that we got that done, let us move on to best voice acting. So in the TV and special categories, we got Alison Brie as Diane Nguyen in BoJack Horseman, Will Townstein as Mr. Weenie in Open Season Scared Silly, Leslie Carrara as Bubbles in the Jim Henson production Splash and Bubbles. We got Lars Mikkelsen as Grand Admiral Thrawn in Star Wars Rebels. And finally, we got Carlos Alazaraqui as Ponche de Leon in the Mr. Peabody and Sherman Show. Now, for best voice acting in an animated feature, we got Art Parkinson as Kubo in Kubo and the Two Strings, Aoli Quavalo as Moana, Katie Crown as Tulip in Storks, Zooey Deschanel as Bridget in Trolls, and finally, we got Jason Bateman as Nick Wilde in Zootopia. Now let's move on to the best writing category, starting off with writing in an animated TV show or special. And so what we got in here include Bob's Burgers for the episode The Hormoniums, Gravity Falls for the episode Weird Mageddon 3, Take Back the Falls, Puffin Rock for the episode The First Snow, The Simpsons for the episode Bart Hood, and finally, once again, The Simpsons for the episode The Burns Cage. And then we got best writing for an animated feature, in which we got Kubo and the Two Strings, My Life as a Zucchini, The Red Turtle, and finally Zootopia. And last, but certainly not least, the big one that probably everybody is pretty much waiting for, the nominations for Best Animated Feature. And listen carefully, because they are Finding Dory, Kubo and the Two Strings, Kung Fu Panda 3, Moana, and finally Zootopia. But it's not just that. Like, those are pretty much the ones for the projects that they have done. At the same time, we also got the juried awards list. Now, these are pretty much the ones that are pretty much special awards dedicated to many people whose lifetime contributions in the animation industry have been so grand that they pretty much deserve an award in themselves. So, for the Winsor McCay Award for their career contributions in the art of animation, this year's recipients include Disney animator Dale Bear, independent animator Caroline Leaf, and the director of Ghost in the Shell, Mamoru Oshii. At the same time, we also got the UB iWorks Award, for technical advancements in the art of animation, which this year shall be given to Google Spotlight's virtual reality platform. On top of that, we also got the June Foray Award for their significant and benevolent or charitable impact on the art and industry of animation, which will go to Bill and Sue Croyer, whose works are more well-known, actually, probably the highlight of their career, or maybe, like, one of the most recognizable ones that they have done, is that they have been a heavy influence working on Ferngully the Last Rainforest. And finally, we got the Special Achievement Award, in which this year shall be given to the documentary Life Animated. If you guys have not seen Life Animated, please do so. It is actually quite amazing and really awe-inspiring, I must say. Now, in terms of, if we go back into the animated features that did get nominated and all that kind of stuff, I actually do have the list here, which was actually made by Cartoon Brew, of how many nominations did each animated feature actually get. And so far, what we have is that the big winners in terms of the nominations is actually Zootopia and Kubo and the Two Strings. They actually both ended up really, really strong this year, where Zootopia ended up with 11 nominations and Kubo and the Two Strings ended up getting 10. Following from behind, there are still some others that did do a really good job as well. We got Moana that ended up with 6 nominations. The Red Turtle got 5 overall. Coincidentally, both DreamWorks films, Kung Fu Panda 3 and Trolls, ended up with 4 nominations each. Then we got My Life as a Zucchini and Finding Dory that got 3 nominations. Meanwhile, The Little Prince, Your Name, and The Secret Life of Pets got 2 nominations each. Meanwhile, there are also a lot of them that ended up with just 1 nomination, which includes Sing, Miss Hokusai, Long Way North, Storks, Sausage Party, and April and the Extraordinary World. Now, what is actually very interesting in here is that you may also notice that among this list, that there are also some significant animated features that did not get nominated whatsoever. And this is something that I immediately noticed, which a few of them actually do kind of surprise me. The ones that you may find that are not on this list whatsoever would actually include The Angry Birds Movie, Ice Age Collision Course, Ratchet and Clank, The Wildlife, and Norm of the North. Now, I completely understand why there are some, like, Norm of the North and, The Wildlife. Even Ratchet and Clank. Yeah, those three movies, like Norm of the North, Ratchet and Clank, and The Wildlife, I can completely understand why they didn't get a single nomination. They don't even deserve a nomination. Those movies, like, they range from bad to worse, pretty much. So, like, that doesn't bother me at all. But I'm actually quite surprised that they decided to leave out The Angry Birds Movie and Ice Age Collision Course. I mean, sure, they're not the best animated features, especially not Collision Course, my god. But honestly, I'm surprised that they didn't end up with at least a few number of, like, you know, special individual categories, especially with The Angry Birds Movie, which the animation was actually quite impressive. I'm surprised that it didn't get, like, nominations in any of the other categories, like, you know, something like Best Character Animation or Best Character Design or, you know, or even, like, Best Editing, Best Music or whatever. I'm honestly surprised it didn't even get any, because usually, like, in terms of what the Annie Awards would do, they would give a slice of pie to anyone, even if it's, like, really bad films made by Sony Pictures Animation. They would hand a few nominations to them as well. And actually, speaking of Sony Animation, you know, it's actually quite surprising that even this year, I noticed that even Open Season Scared Silly ended up with a lot more nominations than something like The Angry Birds Movie and Ice Age Collision Course. So that's actually quite surprising. But then again, you may notice as well that one thing that could actually explain... Oh, actually, no, never mind. I was about to say, like, well, technically, like, if you look in the sponsored list, you won't find, like, Ravio not getting a nomination at all. But actually, Blue Sky did. Blue Sky is actually a part of the silver sponsor, so... Yeah, actually, it's kind of surprising that, they ended up as a sponsor, but Ice Age Collision Course got left out. But, oh well. You know, it's actually quite interesting, and, you know, it's really fascinating that we got a pretty diverse list so far, but one thing that actually does really stand out that is quite impressive is that there's a lot more love being shown to the more independent animated features. Like, sure, I'm sure that many of you people listening right now are probably unfamiliar with some of the movies like The Red Turtle or My Life as a Zucchini or even Your Name. But, you know, it's actually really nice showing these independent animated features who don't really get as much of a chance to be in the spotlight as much as many of the other ones like Zootopia or even Kubo and the Two Strings, that they would actually ended up getting a chance and getting massive recognition, especially with the Red Turtle. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if what the Red Turtle will be this year will be exactly like what Anomalisa is last year. And, well, at the very least, I am hoping that the Red Turtle can at least have a bit of a better reputation, like, afterwards, that it can still survive after the, you know, after the award season and stuff like that. Because, unfortunately, what ended up happening with Anomalisa is that, like, okay, yeah, it was, like, really big and really recognizable when it was, like, the award season, when it was in competition with Inside Out. But then afterwards, it's like, poof, it's suddenly gone. Nobody ever talks about it again. So hopefully, maybe the Red Turtle might get a bit of recognition, especially with the fact that Studio Ghibli did help it out. So maybe it could get a bit of a popularity boost. But I am also hoping for the same fate as well for some of the other ones. You know, I'm hoping that some of these independent films like My Life as a Zucchini or even Your Name could actually get some recognition. And with the help of the award season, like, maybe it could get a boost, like, with something like this, that it could actually end up getting a lot more nominations than just, you know, the best independent animated feature category. But with what we are presented with many of the other nominations that we got right here, like, it doesn't really surprise me one bit that, of course, Zootopia ends up being, like, the one that's grabbing the most nominations so far. And chances are, especially with the fact that we are seeing many like early award shows presenting how Zootopia seems to be the big winner for best animated feature and stuff like that, it's not going to be surprising if the big winner could actually end up being Zootopia. By how much, I am unsure, but chances are, like, there's a very high possibility that Zootopia could actually be the best animated feature, like, of them all. But I am hoping as well that some of the other movies as well would actually get a chance, especially with Kubo and the Two Strings and Moana. I do hope that they would come out with some, they would actually come out with some Annie wins as well. Like, when I list off the names for best voice acting in an animated feature, I'm actually completely rooting for Aoli Carvalho to be the winner for best voice acting, because, I mean, she's completely brand new and she has the big responsibility to play the new next big Disney star for Disney's next movie. I mean, she has a huge responsibility, maybe bigger than any other actor in that category. So I'm definitely rooting for her all the way. And at least with Kubo and the Two Strings, I'm hoping that it would get some massive, like, big care. Like, I'm just hoping that it will go away with some big Annie wins, you know, like something like best directing or some Annie wins for in the category of, like, animation and stuff like that. Some of the aspects in there, because it's such a phenomenal film and hands down possibly the best stop motion animated film since Coraline, really, because it really is that phenomenal, and it should at least get away with some Annie wins. I know for a fact it might not get the best animated feature category, but oh my god, it's just really amazing. It should get away with a few Annies. That's all I'm asking. But so far, from the list that I am seeing, it is still highly impressive, and I just want to give a massive congratulations to all the nominees who got a chance to be recognized at the Annie Awards. And I am hoping that in the future we'll see who would end up being victorious. If, hopefully Zootopia won't be clouding everything and might end up with so many ridiculous wins like last time with Inside Out, where it just grabbed every single thing that it can. Hopefully we won't see too much of that, and maybe some of the other animated features might get away with a win. But we will only know until a little bit later with the Annie Awards. When the awards show, hold on a sec, it said somewhere about when it's going to be. Fudge nabbit. Okay, hold on a sec. Oh, never mind, here it is. Found it! Okay. Now, if you guys are excited for the Annie Awards to know when is it going to be happening, well, we will only find out about the winners when it shall be, when all the winners will be announced, when the ceremony shall begin on February 4th, 2017. Now, for our next story, we actually got a commercial, funny enough, but this one is actually very interesting. Now, this is actually a commercial for Foot Locker and also Air Jordans. They decided to combine their work together to make this, like, little short story in the form of a commercial. But specifically, this is made to commemorate the 20th anniversary of Space Jam. And I know that this is a massive, big thing for many people. Like, I know that a lot of 90s kids grew up with Space Jam. This is their discovery to the Looney Tunes. I should know, I'm technically one of them, actually. That's their massive discovery to the Looney Tunes. And also, on top of that, it's also their big inspiration for basketball. And plus the fact that the movie itself is actually the, like, highest grossing basketball movie of all time. And even, like, during the 20th anniversary, people are pretty much celebrating it by going to the big screen, watching Space Jam again, or even getting the 20th anniversary Blu-ray steel box, which is actually available right now with an absolutely freaking hideous cover for it. I mean, seriously, have you seen that cover for the 20th anniversary of Space Jam? It is absolutely stupid and purely freaking ugly. Like, who the fridge designed that piece of crap? Seriously, it's freaking garbage. Absolutely garbage. But anyways, going back into the commercial, Foot Locker decided to celebrate it with a little story to commemorate the 20th anniversary of Space Jam. So what they basically did is that it starts out with a bunch of guys playing basketball, you know, doing the same thing as the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air would say, you know, just a couple of guys just shooting some b-ball upside of the school. When a couple of guys, they were up to no good, started making trouble in the neighborhood, which in this case is actually the Monstars. For some reason, we don't know why, the Monstars are pretty much making a big comeback, and they pretty much dominated basketball. That's the story, is that the Monstars came in, and now they own basketball. And they're even, like, getting promotional deals. We're saying, like, we're the best, you're the worst, you guys suck, and we're awesome. We're, like, now there's, like, buses, and there's billboards everywhere just covering the Monstars. And then, so these kids who started out playing basketball, you know, they actually got their basketball court pretty much stolen by the Monstars. And now they want to go and try to fight against them. So the option that they have is actually go to this shady looking Foot Locker, and like they go in the back and they knock on the door, and who else would come in but Bugs Bunny himself, pretty much gearing himself up to go and prepare themselves to fight against the Monstars, like get the right basketballs, get the right equipment, and especially get the right shoes. But on top of that, Bugs Bunny also offers NBA player, Blake Griffin? Hold on a sec. I just want to play a little bit of the commercial just to be sure about it. Well, hold on. Yeah, it's Blake Griffin. Okay. So it is Blake Griffin, and he probably has the best part. And a lot of people say that Blake Griffin actually has the best part. Like, he would actually come out, and he looks at the camera and just say, like, who you expecting, Elmer Fudd? And then Bugs just pops up from behind. It was like, that joke again? Well, like, what, you don't say, what's up, Doc, every day? You know, that's actually the best part, and everybody does agree. But what is actually very interesting is that we actually do have some original piece of animation right here, especially with Bugs Bunny. Now, of course, like, even though the Monstars do come back, like, you can tell that they just took some of the animated parts from Space Jam and just use it for that commercial. So, like, of course, there is a bit of recycling some animation here, but at least Bugs Bunny is, you know, you could tell that it's original piece of animation right there. What is actually sad about all this is that we have yet to know who actually made the animation for this commercial, because to be very honest, it's actually really well done. Like, this isn't just like TV quality animation. It's not like we're seeing Bugs Bunny like how he is in Wabbit. This is actually full-on like feature film quality style animation, smooth, like very smooth, and it actually blends well with the live action environments. It's actually pretty good. But other than that, if you guys haven't seen the commercial, you know, definitely go check it out. It's actually pretty interesting. And I know, like, it's goofy and silly, like, and a lot of it really doesn't make sense. But then again, we're talking about freaking Space Jam. Neither does that as well. So with that said, like, the only thing I could really say is that you guys should definitely go check that commercial out. It's actually pretty interesting. And especially if you're a fan of Space Jam, then, like, this will definitely be nostalgic. And for now, I guess that this is going to be the only thing that we could say, or I guess, actually, no. The best way to put it is that so far, this is the only thing that we got in terms of Space Jam 2, because a lot of people are still talking about it. We're unsure if it's going to be a reality. We don't know, like, that, you know what I'm talking about, that legendary Space Jam 2 that LeBron James is going to be starring in. So if that's going to be a reality, that I don't know. But so far, we got this little commercial right here, which is cute, which is fun. And technically, like, the whole concept of Space Jam started out as a commercial. So I guess we kind of went full circle with it, except it didn't star Michael Jordan. We just got Blake Griffin. And technically, there's another NBA player. We got Jimmy Butler in there as well. To pretty, like, because the title of this commercial overall is Defy the Monstar. So if you wear Air Jordans that you bought at Foot Locker, you could be so good that you'll be able to beat the Monstars at basketball. That's pretty much the whole message. But overall, this is just to mention, go check out Defy the Monstars on YouTube. It's a lot of fun. It's a cute commercial. And yeah, it's, you know, it's a nice little homage to Space Jam. Now for our next story, we got a bit of an announcement in terms of the casting for an upcoming animated feature, which is actually pretty anticipated. And I'm talking, of course, about the Lego Batman movie. So far, the Lego Movie 2 is going to be pretty far. In fact, they say that it's only going to be coming out in 2019. So in 2017, we're just going to have a little bit of a couple of fillers for people's Lego movie needs. So we got the Lego Batman movie, and then later down the road in 2017, there's going to be the Lego Ninjago movie. But going into the Lego Batman movie, they added a little cast onto it that might spice up a few things, and a lot of people noticed that there is actually one additional actor in there that actually made a lot of people pretty excited for the Lego Batman movie, because the director of the Lego Batman movie, Chris McKay, actually did announce and confirm that Billy Dee Williams will be playing the role of Two-Face. Now, okay, that's actually cool, but why are people excited about it? Is it because they actually got Lando Calrissian himself to play the role of a Batman villain? Well, not actually, because technically, this is not his first time playing the role. I mean, okay, he didn't fully become Two-Face, but he actually did play the role of Harvey Dent in 1989's Batman. And going into my source here in the Hollywood Reporter, it actually did state that he actually accepted to play the role of Harvey Dent to eventually become Two-Face, because he was excited for that moment to actually happen. But unfortunately, that did not happen, because during the 90s, after Tim Burton released Batman Returns, and a lot of people say that it was too dark, Warner Brothers decided that they want to go and try to lighten the mood a bit, and decided to replace Tim Burton with Joel Schumacher. And with his vision, trying to make it more like the 1960s Batman, he decided to go and switch up the entire role, from everybody, including the role of Two-Face is no longer from Billy Dee Williams. Now it belongs to Tommy Lee Jones, who finally does become Two-Face. So you could tell that there would be at one point, like if Tim Burton would ever make his third Batman movie, he would have actually had Billy Dee Williams to become Two-Face himself, like the legit Two-Face. But it seems like right now, the Lego Batman movie is going to finally give Williams the great big chance to actually fully become Two-Face. Now, with that said, however, I'm not going to immediately be excited about it. I do get the significance, and it is pretty cool. But I'm not going to be jumping for joy. I'm not going to make this like a part of my list to be like super hyped up about the Lego Batman movie. Because here's the thing, though. Yes, it is nice that they brought back an actor to reprise his role for this opportunity right here. Like, I get that. But the thing is, I don't think he's going to play a major role in this movie. Like, keep in mind, like, as you've seen in the commercials in the Lego Batman movie, it looks like it's going to be more focused on the relationship between Batman and Robin. Like, sure, there are going to be some villains in there, but they're not going to be as prominent as those two. I mean, I think the best example that I can provide and the biggest proof of what I mean is actually the brand new poster for the Lego Batman movie, which I have to admit, is actually really awesome. Like, that is a great poster. Like, you see Batman, you see Robin, and you pretty much see the entire cast right behind him just running. Like, you don't just see some of the supporting characters. You also see a lot of the villains, and you also see a lot of the other DC characters, like Wonder Woman and Superman and all those people. But the thing is that, like I said, you see a lot of the villains, but that's the key thing. There are a lot of villains in there. Like, you don't just see the Joker and Two-Face. You also see Harley Quinn. You also see Bane. You also see Catwoman. You also see Poison Ivy. You see the Riddler. You see all these Batman villains, but they're not going to be prominently featured. Like, you know that they might... Actually, the thing is, with the Lego Batman movie, you know for a fact that if there's going to be a main villain, it has to be the Joker. Like, sure, they might feature the other ones as well, but they're not going to be prominent. Like, at the most, like, I can imagine Two-Face is just going to be there as a minor villain. Like, he's just going to be in the reunion of all the other Batman villains. Or he's just going to have, like, a cameo. Like, he might just have, you know, just make an appearance in a flashback or just a little montage of just Batman fighting crime. And that's pretty much it. That's the most that I'm probably expecting. So I get why they would cast Billy Dee Williams again. Like, you know, it's a nice little homage to the 1989 Batman movie, but I'm not expecting this to be a big significant thing. Like, this is not going to be like Billy Dee Williams' big moment as a major Batman villain. Like, I'm just expecting this to be like, you know, just a cute little reference and just a little appearance from Billy Dee Williams reprising his role as Harvey Dent, but this time as Two-Face. And that's all that I'm expecting, and, you know, nothing more. It's a nice little homage, but I don't think it's going to have a major significance to the movie. But if you guys are excited to see Billy Dee Williams in action and finally become Two-Face, just remember that the Lego Batman movie is ready to go and hit theaters on February 20th, 2017. Now, for our next story, we are going to be talking about probably the biggest movie that has been announced this year, and I'm talking, of course, about the live-action Pokemon movie. Something in which a lot of people have pretty much joked about that, oh, they're gonna make, like, this dark and gritty live-action Pokemon movie doing the same thing like Alvin and the Chipmunks or Smurfs or do whatever and try to cash in on that blah, 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 and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But it seems like it's going to be a reality ever since Legendary Entertainment decided to go and buy the film rights from the Pokemon Company in order to make this happen. And so far from what we got, it's kind of a bit of a mix from surprise to really good. I mean, the subject in particular of what the movie will be, it's actually kind of surprising the fact that they decided to go and make a movie based on Detective Pikachu, which is pretty much this Japan-exclusive downloadable game where you play, or I guess, like, the story is about this Sherlock Holmes-style talking Pikachu. But at the same time, a lot of people are actually pretty excited for it, considering the fact that the writers are pretty much very legitimate and very trustworthy, especially the fact that they actually got one of the writers of Guardians of the Galaxy and Inside Out, Nicole Perlman, and Gravity Falls creator Alex Hirsch. Those two are going to be working on the script, so chances are it's going to really be in good hands. However, this week, they announced the director for it, and now people are starting to be a little bit concerned. They don't know how to feel about this situation. Is this directing choice a good thing, a bad thing? Well, I guess you'll find out for yourself when I say that Rob Letterman has been signed on by Legendary Entertainment to go and direct Detective Pikachu. Now, for those of you who don't really know who Rob Letterman is, you might know some of his works, actually. He started out working as a director at DreamWorks Animation, where he went to go and direct some feature films like Shark Tale and Monsters University. But then afterwards, he would go and recently, actually, direct some live-action Jack Black movies, which would include Gulliver's Travels and, just recently, Goosebumps. So pretty much they decided to go and set this guy to be the director of Detective Pikachu. And afterwards, we don't really know much else about what's going to be going on. And the only extra thing that they did announce is going to be, like, who's going to be handling the distribution. Like, we know that Universal Pictures will be handling it all around the world, but Toho will be in charge of distributing it in Japan. And that's all that we know so far. And in terms of getting Rob Letterman in charge, honestly, it is a bit of a mix. Like, it could come out pretty good, but at the same time, I understand a lot of people's concerns. I mean, the big thing is that a lot of people are worried about the fact that they brought in the director of Shark Tale and Gulliver's Travels to be the director of Detective Pikachu. So they are a little bit worried if it's going to be in the right hands or not. And I do understand that. I mean, both movies absolutely suck. But I think the best point of reference to know if this is going to be a good idea or not is mostly with his most recent film, actually, with Goosebumps. Like, if we look onto that feature, that would probably indicate for us to know if Detective Pikachu will be in the good hands of this director or not, you know? Because the thing is, when you look at Goosebumps, it's actually this major mix between live action and some massive visual effects, rather than if they be practical or they're computer animated. That's going to be your big indicator. And it, like, the thing is, when you look at that, many of the problems, I wouldn't necessarily be sure if I could associate it with, if I could necessarily associate that with Rob Letterman himself. Because there are some other factors as well. And the thing with Goosebumps, at least for me, I feel like it's such a very mixed movie. Because there are some things that I really do enjoy, but there are some other elements that I really hate as well. And they were nothing but a waste of time. Like, those bad elements are pretty much the reason why they have the Sony Pictures Animation banner. Because they're as bad as some of those movies. But the thing is, like, those elements that suck, I don't know, like I said, I don't know if I can necessarily associate them with Rob Letterman himself. You know, I feel like it could be possible that, you know, it's mostly the, like, they got bad writers. Like, they got writers who don't know how to make good characters and stuff like that. Or it could also be the fact that they got bad actors. Because let's face it, in the Goosebumps movie, the acting really sucked in there. Like, a lot of, like, other than, Jack Black was really good in there. He was really enjoyable. Everyone else, however, my God, they're horrible. Like, they really do suck. Like, they pretty much show, like, as much quality as a Disney Channel original picture. Like, that's the thing. Like, if it were handed by someone else, like, if this was by Disney, then it would immediately be in the category of Disney Channel original movie. Still better than most other garbage that they would do, like Camp Rock or High School Musical or Disney's Descendants. But still, I mean, like, it still has that hokiness, it still has that cheap quality, it still has those bad actors. So yeah, basically what I'm trying to say with Goosebumps is that I'm not 100% sure if we could really blame Rob Letterman for some of the flaws in there, because technically it would be from the writer. It could technically be put at fault from the writers and also the actors as well. And I mean, at least with Detective Pikachu, we know that in terms of the writing, it is in good hands. I mean, keep in mind, like, monsters, like, a lot of people do enjoy Monsters vs. Aliens. I mean, that's not necessarily a bad movie, per se. So when you look upon, like, with Detective Pikachu, and you see that the script is handled by very well-respected people, like, maybe Rob Letterman might actually pull out something pretty good with it. And who knows, like, we also don't know yet about who's going to be the actors, who's going to play Detective Pikachu, who's going to be playing the human characters. And you know, like, we don't know about all that kind of stuff. So who knows if this movie might come out good or not. I mean, like, sure, a lot of people are putting up a red flag with the fact that they got Rob Letterman in. But I don't know, like, I'm not immediately going to judge if this is going to be good or bad just yet. Like, with Rob Letterman, you don't necessarily know if you're going to get something either great or something really bad. But who knows? We'll just have to wait and see when more information about Detective Pikachu will be coming out. And so, finally, we shall end things off with Matt's Pick of the Week. And with this pick of the week, it actually has to do with the first story that I brought to you guys, which is about the Annie Awards. And what is actually interesting to note is actually this little article from Cartoon Brew that Amit Amiti wrote. And he mentioned about his concerns about what's going to be going on with this year's Annies. And the biggest thing that he's pretty much worried about is if we're pretty much going to repeat what's happening with last year. If you guys don't remember, at last year, like, what happened with the last Annie Awards is that the big winner was Inside Out, but my God, did it win by an entire landslide. Like, going into Amit's article in Cartoon Brew, like, he actually did a full-on statistic about all the animated features that got nominated and how many nominations that they got in contrast to how many that won. And in terms of the winners, Inside Out actually managed to get away with 10 wins. And the only other animated movies that actually did get a win as well is Boy and the World for best independent animated feature. And they actually won that because Inside Out was not nominated in there. And the only other movie that also got a win was The Good Dinosaur, which really did not help the case because technically that's another Pixar movie. So technically, Pixar pretty much stole the entire Annie Awards during that year when, like many other animated films during that time did get a lot of nominations, you know. There was Minions that got a lot of nominations. There was Anomalisa. There was Shaun the Sheep. There was the Peanuts movie, you know, and we got Boy in the World, The Prophet, When Marnie Was There, Home, and all those movies, you know? And they all ended up being shafted so that Inside Out gets the winner. And the biggest thing that Amit is pretty much accusing Amit is pretty much accusing Asifa of doing is actually doing this, what he calls it, a straight ticket voting. Now, if I may take a passage in here a little bit, the reason for this partisan straight ticket voting must be figured out and addressed in a meaningful way by Asifa Hollywood. These awards are designed not just to recognize the best feature film in any given year, but individual merit within specialized areas of feature animation. It defies belief that only one corporation hired artists capable of creating exemplary work. And what follows afterwards is that he brings up the big event that really was the game changer at the Annie Awards was back in 2010 during that giant controversy when How to Train Your Dragon pretty much did the same thing as Inside Out and pretty much won every single category period while pretty much shafting every other movie, including the ones made by Disney and Pixar. And what ended up happening is that the people at Disney were really not pleased with it, and they threatened to quit and no longer show their support to Asifa. And what ended up happening is that they had to switch like their presidents. Going back into here. Asifa Hollywood took Disney's protest seriously. The organization booted its president, Artran Manoogian, and replaced him with the duo of Frank Gladstone and Jerry Beck. We did have a problem, Beck told Variety in 2015. We had to address it. Among the changes made was creating an advisory board comprised of executives and management from the major animation studios. Other changes include limiting voting to only professional members of the organization and the creation of professional nomination panels. So that was pretty much the big thing, was that the big change that they had to do was more to please Disney, because of the fact that, like, it showed during that year that they had a complete bias towards DreamWorks Animation. And in a way, I do understand Disney's position, because I remember, like, I really went and done some massive research onto that year, because even I knew that, like, I smelled foul play during that time. Because the thing is, when you look back at that year during the Annie Awards, like, it wasn't just the fact that How to Train Your Dragon won every single award that was in there, but they also pretty much dominated so many categories. I remember there was even one of them that was nothing but How to Train Your Dragon. Like, literally a category that was not, like, where all the nominations was nothing but How to Train Your Dragon. And that's it. Like, literally, that's it. That's all. And with that said, like, while Disney on the side, like, they barely got any nominations whatsoever. And the reason why, like, anybody can pretty much smell foul play is the fact that somehow the Annies would go and give all the awards to How to Train Your Dragon, and yet they would completely ignore all the other movies during that year, including, like, it was the year when movies like Despicable Me, when Tangled, and especially Toy Story 3 would be completely ignored. There is no way in freaking hell that How to Train Your Dragon would win, is better than those movies at everything. There's no freaking way possible. Like, seriously, it's ridiculous when you think about it. So that's why they had to do this massive change. And technically, when you do look onto 2015, I mean, it is true that technically, there isn't as much noteworthy animated features during that time. I mean, like, in 2015, like, the ones that are actually worth mentioning are just Inside Out and maybe Anomalisa and the Peanuts movie, but literally that's it. And I mean, when, like, it is true that technically in 2015, Inside Out shouldn't be the winner of literally every single award. Like, as I stated before, the Peanuts movie and Anomalisa should have at least gotten away with, like, a couple of them. But then again, it's not like they're going to give awards, you know, to make everybody happy to, like, just random movies and ended up giving it to bad films as well, like Home and Hotel Transylvania 2, you know? It's a little bit ridiculous. So, the thing is, I understand, like, the thing is with what happened last year, it's not necessarily as severe as it was in 2010, but I still understand overall of the concerns. And especially when you do look at this year, where Zootopia ended up with the most nominations, like, as I've stated before, the one thing I am worried about is if they're going to repeat the same year, they're going to repeat, like, last year, and they're just going to give all the awards to Zootopia. Like, I don't want to see that happen. Or, like, another case would be, like Zootopia is going to take the grand majority, and few of the other ones will be given to Moana. You know, like, they're not really going to help the situation. So, overall, the thing is that I do hope this year, like, they do spread it around. I mean, especially with the fact that, like, a lot of the other movies did get some major nominations. I mean, like I said before, like, I am really hoping that Kubo and the Two Strings would get away with at least some awards. You know, that's what I mean. Like, the thing is, this year, it's not just Zootopia that got so many nominations. It's also Kubo. Like, Zootopia has 11, yes, but Kubo has 10. It's not far behind, so maybe we could see a bit of a variety. And plus the fact that technically we are seeing a lot of independent films getting nominated, you know? Like, who knows? Maybe this year we will actually see movies like The Red Turtle or My Life as a Zucchini or Your Name actually get away with a win, you know? And not just in the best independent animated feature category. Like, maybe this year they're going to learn a little bit of they're going to learn a little bit with how they treated with Anomalisa, and maybe they'll give better treatment to some of the other ones right afterwards. Like, maybe we will actually see a win for The Red Turtle. Who knows? But yeah, like, honestly, though, the thing is that, yeah, it is pretty bad, like, when we see an animated feature get a massive landslide overall. But it shouldn't be completely a bad thing. Like, it's honestly really unavoidable in some cases. Like, it will happen eventually that there's going to be that one year where an animated feature is just so good while the other ones are really subpar to the point that it will take away every single award. Like, it can happen, but it shouldn't be something that is frequently happening. And I mean, with the Annies, they do have a bit of a bad track record with some foul play. I mean, especially, like, what really is assault to an open wound with the entire How to Train Your Dragon controversy was that it was not the first time that it happened, actually. I mean, beforehand, Kung Fu Panda kind of did the same thing, where it took so many awards, and yet the Annies completely ignored WALL-E. Which, like, that, you can smell some foul play as well. There's no way that, like, WALL-E can be completely ignored over Kung Fu Panda. So with that said, with the way that they gotta fix it, I honestly don't know. Maybe they gotta do something special with what Amit Amidi is saying is that they gotta change the ways with how the voting process works. Maybe we do gotta see a bit of a game changer with how they would choose and select what would end up winning. Who would go and be the real winners? Like, maybe they got to do a full jury list. Maybe, like, they got to go and, you know, the people who have to go vote are going to be the people who are completely unassociated with anybody from, unassociated with any of the animation studios that got nominated or that worked on a specific project or any of that kind of stuff. Like, get someone who could be completely unbiased in this situation and see how it goes from there. Or maybe, like, get a panel of, like, film critics and animation critics to go and choose who could be the winner in this case. Honestly, I don't know. Like, I am honestly not 100% sure on how, like, we can, like, if there is a major problem and if there is if there's a way to fix it. I'm not associated with a CIFA. Honestly, I would love to be a member of a CIFA Hollywood. I'm not right now, but it would be an amazing thing. But I don't know. I'm just lending out my voice and maybe just lending out suggestions. I don't know what could be the real answer. If there actually is a problem, if there is a way to fix it, I don't know. But the thing is, though, is that what did happen with Inside Out, I mean, it could be a bit of a coincidence. Like, if you do look back in the previous years, like when movies like Frozen or How to Train Your Dragon 2 was the big winner, I mean, there really isn't much complaints because at least many other animated features did get some recognition. Like, movies like Monsters University, The Croods, The Lego Movie, Big Hero 6, and all those movies, they did end up getting some recognition and did actually get away with a win at the Annies. So at least it is something. So, we'll just have to wait and see, like, a couple of years down ahead if there could be a bit of a bias towards Disney if, every single award is given to nothing but Disney films, then, we can raise awareness. But for now, let's just consider what happened in 2015 a bit of a, uh, you know, more of a coincidence and see what happens this year. Like, if movies like either Kung Fu Panda 3 or The Red Turtle or Kubo and the Two Strings or even Trolls might end up with a win or something. Who knows? But like I said before, we'll only have to wait and see on February 4th if, you know, if there is some foul play from Disney or, you know, the Annie Awards is clean. Who knows? I'm just letting my piece in this whole situation. But let's just see how it goes from there. But anyways, that is all that I got for this week. So thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Animation Podcast. You can find more of my work at film-book.com. All you have to do is look for Mathieu Brunet or the Animation Podcast. You can also find me on Twitter at animat505. If you listen to this podcast on iTunes or any other podcast service, do you mind doing us a little favor and rate and review this episode? That would be wonderful. And if you are listening to this podcast on YouTube, then hit that like button on our video and leave us a little comment on your thoughts on the news this week. Tune in next week for the latest episode of the Animation Podcast and all things animation. Thank you guys so much for listening, and until next week, see you later, dudes!